I want to share a message this morning over the next few weeks that I'm simply calling Heart to Heart. And those of you who are regular attenders in the house will know that this is something that is particularly, I was going to say, close to my heart. But it is, because I know that God is always concerned about the heart, and that most of the issues that we deal with in life are heart issues. It's about our attitude. It's about who we are and about how we look at things. So those of you that have your Bibles, either printed or electronic, go with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 48. Joe, there is a slide on the desktop. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 48. And you will know that this is part of the discourse where Jesus, you know, traditionally the Bible calls it the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus speaks about the Beatitudes. In other words, he tells us how, you know, we should live. If we call ourselves students of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus makes it clear what the standard is, how we should be in attitude, in word, in deed. And so it's part of this discourse that we pick up at verse 31, and he's speaking about divorce, and he speaks again, it's about attitudes and so on. So verse 31 then, reading to the end of the chapter, verse 48. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on both the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we'll finish there. And again, if you've been with us over a number of weeks, you'll know that when it talks about perfect there, it's not talking about living a sin-free life, because of course none of us can do that. But when it talks about being perfect, it talks about us allowing the purposes and the plans of God to be fulfilled in and through our lives. And elsewhere in the Bible, in Proverbs 4:23, it says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Again, a different version says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And again, other translations say, out of your heart flows the wellsprings of life. Again, another translation says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. And so the heart is very important. It has always been. We live in a consumer-orientated a materialistic, hedonistic society that is bent on pleasing self. When we look around, that's what the world does. That's what the majority of people do. It's all about me, pleasing me, what I want. In comparison with other areas of the world, though, we know that you and I live in relative luxury. Again, it's relative. But for the greater part, you and I live in very high levels of luxury in terms of our comforts, our pleasures, and our security. And with that comes a prominent idea that happiness is based on what we do, our accomplishments, that happiness is based on recognition of ourselves, that our happiness is based on material possessions, and happiness is based on comfort. Of course, we know that all of those things just are not true. We've come to believe what is a mistaken lie, and I have to say, a Satan-promoted lie, a notion that if we acquire certain things, we'll be happy. And sometimes, even as students of the Lord Jesus Christ, we adopt that attitude. We think, oh, if I had a better car, oh, if I had a better house, oh, if I had a better job, oh, if I had more money in the bank, I'd be happy. Oh, if my relationship were different with this person, I'd be happy. It doesn't work like that. Our happiness, our joy is not dependent on external things. Our joy and true happiness is dependent on what's going on the inside. It's dependent on us allowing the Spirit of God to work on us on the inside. God came, Christ came and turned everything upside down. Whereas the world bases its sense of happiness and achievement on externals, so the external things working in, when Jesus came, he turned everything upside down, and instead it's the outside, the inside working out. It's what happens on the inside that is important. The result of this sort of mistaken understanding is that people develop their own agendas. They seek to climb the mountain of success and happiness. And when they don't hit the apex or the peak, then they fall apart. They feel as though they are insignificant, that they are worthless because someone else has more. Let me tell you, the reality of life is this. Someone is always going to have more than. Someone is always going to be seemingly better than. Someone is always going to have a bigger house. It's always going to be the case. If you are simply dependent on externals, you are going to live a life of constant disappointment. And that's not what God has for us. God wants the best. God wants us to have an understanding about who we are, which is not based on what people say about us and the world says about us, but he wants us to have an understanding of who we are in him and about what he says about us, because his word is far more important than anything else in the world. Anyone agree with me? It's true. Our sense of identity is what God says about us. Too many people rely on the affirmation of others. And at the end of the day, myself, all of us, we're human. We will always let someone down. Always. Scripture teaches us that the real issues of life are spiritual matters of the heart. It's the inner man that's important. It's what's going on in here that's important, not what's going on outside. And maybe because God understands that what's going on in here is the important thing, maybe that's why the word heart appears so many times in the scriptures. In the New American Standard Bible, and obviously there are different translations, 863 times the word heart appears. In the King James Version, 963 times. In the NIV, 791 times. And in the ESV, 763 times. The word heart is an important word because it's important to God. It's prominent in God's economy. It's prominent in God's agenda. And God is concerned about the state of your heart. You might not be, but God is. In the Psalms and the Proverbs, we find the greatest concentration of the reference to the word heart. Let's have a look at the importance of the heart in the Scripture. It's important in Scripture because it's important to God. The heart, when the Bible talks about the heart, is predominantly speaking about what we call the soul. When the Bible speaks about the heart, it's primarily thinking about the soul, the condition of our heart. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says this, when God was choosing a king for Israel, and he spoke to Samuel, and he says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance," that is, do not look at the person that you are choosing for king, "or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see a man as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." You see, God is more concerned about what's going on the inside. You see, we can't fool God by what we do externally. Some of us have these great exteriors where everything seems great in the garden. You know, we're the life and the soul of the party. You know, people seem to flock around us. You know, and there's not a problem or a care in the world. But on the inside, you're falling apart. You're breaking up. You're weeping. Jeremiah, again, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 9 to 10, speaks about the heart and says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deed." God looks at the inner person. What is going on the inside of us? He looks at the heart because out of the heart, the scriptures say, out of the heart, the wellspring of life or the issues of life flow. Our actions, the things that we do, the things that we pursue as important, all of those things come from the heart. How often do we hear people say, I can't find time to do that, or I don't have enough time. You know, particularly when we say, how much time are you spending reading your Bible? I don't have time. I don't have time to read my Bible. How much time do you spend in the gym? How much time do you spend, crocheting or knitting or whatever? You see, the reality is this, is that the human heart, we will always make time for the things that are important to us. We'll always find time for the things that are important for us. And so if you want to know what's important in your life, you look at how you spend your time. The Bible says that out of the heart, the issues of life come. And so if you want to know the state of your heart, look at your life. Look at the things that you consider important. Look at the things that you're giving time over to. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addressed the religious ideas of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were people, the scribes and the Pharisees, religious leaders of the day, who lived by the law. Thank goodness that Christ came to set us free from law. We're now in the era of grace. The religious leaders of the day were talking about the law, and so having read about divorce, the context was this, that the religious leaders of the day were literally looking for any reason at all to divorce their wives. Burnt the toast, divorce. Didn't give me the right cereal in the morning, divorce. Didn't like the state of the curtains in the house, divorce. That was the attitude. They were looking for any reason at all to divorce their wives. And they were looking at the law and saying, well, the law says this, I can divorce you. Jesus comes with a different attitude. Jesus says, it's not about law. It's not about just living to the letter of the law. But actually, what's more important is what's going on in your heart. It's the state of your heart. It's your attitude. It's not about what you do externally. But what is more important is what's going on internally. And Jesus, in his teaching, in this moment, in this Sermon on the Mount, turned upside down the religious ideas and the religious thinking of the leaders of the day. He did it with the following statements. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. It has been said, but I tell you. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. Six times during the course of his message, he says those words, you have heard it said, but. And when Jesus brings a but, it's always worth listening. You have heard it said, but I tell you. What Jesus was showing, he was calling and drawing people's attention to their moral attitude, to their thinking. He was saying, I don't care what you do. You might do the right thing legally, as it is written, but that's actually not the important thing. What's important is your reason. What is important is the state of your heart. What is important is your attitude. But I tell you. When Jesus said, but I tell you, it readdressed all those issues of the law and made first and foremost the most important thing, the matters of the heart. What's the state of your heart in terms of attitudes this morning? Toward other people, toward your husband, your wife, your spouse, your children, relationships, your friends. What's your attitude like in the workplace toward your boss? It's not what you do, but it's what you think and what you hold in the heart that Jesus says is important. In fact, he says, actually, it's what goes on inside that is really authentic Christianity. I don't care, you know, how many times you come to the house. You know, I don't care if you're here every Sunday. Thank you that you do come, because it would be quite lonely if you didn't. But our walk, our relationship with God is not based on the number of times you come into the house. It's not based on the number of good deeds that we do. It simply comes down to the state of our heart and our relationship with God, our attitude toward God. In fact, Jesus was quite strong. He said, listen, he said, hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And we read that, and some people read that, and listen, let me tell you, Jesus wasn't talking about eyes and poking eyes out. That wasn't what he was talking about at all. What Jesus was talking about when he said, you know, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clear to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What Jesus was talking about, he was talking about heart issue. He was talking about the state of an individual's heart. He was saying this, and maybe some of you are here this morning, it's so easy, isn't it? It is so easy to look at other people and see their shortcomings and failings. Anyone can do that. Dead easy. We're very good, every single one of us, very good at seeing the shortcomings and the failings of other people. But we're not so good at self-examination. We make excuses for our failings, for our shortcomings. And Jesus said, don't you be concerned about what so-and-so's doing. Don't you be concerned about what you see, because at the end of the day, all we see is an outworking of something. We don't know what's going on the inside. Jesus says, don't be concerned about what you see and what so-and-so is doing, but rather be more concerned about the state of your own heart. Because Jesus then goes on, he says, note that he says, so that you will see clearly. In other words, you will see things as they are. You will begin to see yourself, not as you think you are, but as you truly are. So that you can take the speck out of your brother's eye. You see, there's a requirement there that having had clear vision, having seen things for what they are, don't just look at someone and criticize them. Don't just tell someone what they're doing wrong. Anyone can do that. But actually what Jesus says is, having seen that, find a way that you can encourage them. Find a way that you can help them to change. Find a way that you can help them to remove that little flaw, or to change that little flaw in their lives. But don't just stand there criticizing them. Jesus says the state of your heart is far more important than the things that you do. He teaches that adultery, murder, they begin in the heart. And I don't know where people are, whether, you know, some of that's in the house. I don't know. You might have literally done those things. But Jesus says, all the things that we do wrong that are contrary to kingdom mentality, all the things that we do wrong that are contrary toward him, all flow out of the heart. It all starts in the heart. One of the consequences of the fall of man is that man was concerned about an outward appearance. Forgot about the heart. Back in Genesis 3:7, you remember the account of the fall when Eve tempted or encouraged Adam, I think is a better word, encouraged Adam to eat the fruit. And it says this in Genesis 3:7. They realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You see, they recognized that there was something wrong with their attitudes. They recognized that there was something wrong in the heart. And what do? They try and cover it externally. They sow fig leaves. They think that by covering it externally, God is not going to see what is really going on in the heart. And some of us, I have to say, probably live like that. We have an external shell. We're breaking up inside. We're hurting. And we put an external shell. And that can take different forms. It can be sarcasm. It can be humor. It can be deflecting a conversation and changing the subject. We're hurting. We're broken inside. But we put on an external facade, because we don't want anyone to really know what's going on inside. We don't want anyone to touch the fragility of our lives, and so we try and hide it. But God, friends, always knows what's going on the inside. God's always concerned about the heart, because God wants to change and transform our hearts, make us more like Jesus. The fact, I'm going to wrap up in a moment, the fact that God knows all things, the fact that he is omniscient, knows all things, should actually be sobering, should actually bring some comfort to us, because in the fact that God knows all things, it should bring comfort in the sense that if God knows all things, then I can trust him to know my heart. If God knows all things, then I can trust him that he knows my pain. If God knows all things, I can trust him that he knows my hurt. If God knows all things. I can trust him that he knows of my anxieties and my fears. God is the one who knows the heart of man. And so before we declare anything else, we perhaps ought to think about the state of our own hearts and remember the fact that God knows its true condition. You see, what God wants us to do so very often with us is what God wants us to do is he wants our hearts to catch up with our actions. Because sometimes we do the right thing out of a wrong motive, out of a wrong attitude. And what we need to do is bring our attitudes and our motives in line with the thing that we're doing. Does that make sense? God is looking to change our hearts. How can we do that? Well, let me suggest, look for someone in your social circles, someone who you trust, someone that can bring clarity to who you are, someone who will speak to you from a right perspective, someone who is not looking to tear you down, but actually someone who is concerned about encouraging you and strengthening you and wanting to see you succeed. I'm not talking about just looking for people that will agree with you. No, not talking about that at all. I'm talking about people who have earned the right to speak into your life. You know who those people are. You know the people that you trust, those people that you would go to for counsel because you know that they're going to tell you not what you want to hear, but they're going to tell you the right thing. Someone like that in your life is valuable, priceless, because they will ask the right questions. They will prick you where it's sensitive, but they will also love you as well. Team, would you come back onto the platform, please? Our hearts are made laid bare before God. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can hide. Let me tell you, there is not a fig leaf, either naturally or metaphorically speaking, big enough to cover what's going on in your heart from God. And so this morning, I want us to simply just have an opportunity to respond. We're going to sing a final song. Have we got a final song? But I want you, just you and God, to allow God by his Spirit to examine your heart, to maybe show you something. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to let that seed settle, allow the Spirit to water it that it might produce fruit at a later time, if not now. But have a look, not for my sake, for your sake, but have a look at the state of your heart. And maybe this morning what you need to do is just let go and break and let go some of those masks, those barriers, those coping strategies, call them what you will, that just keep people at a distance so that people don't really know what's going on inside. Thank you. Well, let's stand together.